This is Judith Leigh welcoming you to Manx Radio and to the podcast of this week's edition of At Your Service. Manx Radio. Faith in the North is coming to the island early next month. But what is it? Well, it's something that the Archbishop of York feels is really important, and he joins us today to explain. We're also previewing a new book by a local author and getting ready to welcome some visiting musicians. In a few moments, the Archbishop of York will be talking about the Lord's Prayer Project, which is part of Faith in the North. So it seems appropriate for us to start with a musical setting of the words of the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father, from the popular Irish trio of Catholic priests.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The priests and the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father. And the Lord's Prayer Project is an important part of Faith in the North, something that the Archbishop of York wants us all to think about and become involved. But before we hear more about Faith in the North, let's be clear that we're not talking about the North of England. This is the Northern Province, one of the two provinces that make up the Church of England. The Northern Province is made up of 14 dioceses, which cover the northern third of England and include the Anglican Church here on the Isle of Man. The Archbishop of York, the Most Reverend Stephen Cottrell, is based in York and is the leader of the Northern Province. However, his dream is for everyone of any denomination to get involved in Faith in the North, which he describes as light from the past and hope for the future. And, as you'll hear, it's a movement of prayer, storytelling and church planting inspired by the saints who brought Christianity to these islands well over 1,000 years ago. Here's Archbishop Stephen sharing his vision for Faith in the North.
Sisters and brothers, it's a great joy to be with you this morning. I've got really nothing new and nothing original to share with you today. I've just got this feeling that we would be a better church, the world would be a better place if we could get out of our church buildings alongside the communities we serve, share the gospel and teach the faith and build the kingdom. In other words, the stuff that you are already doing, but to give that new energy, new focus, some fresh resource and a bit of fresh impetus. That's really all this is about. Earlier this year, I visited the church of San Gregorio Magno Alcellio in Rome, and I saw the head of the crozier that Pope Gregory the Great would have been holding when he blessed Augustine and sent him to England in 597. And in the cloister of the church, I saw the plaque that listed the names of all those who accompanied him on the first and then the second waves of this mission. And there, setting off to the unknown lands of these islands in 601, you find the name Paulinus, a monk in Rome, part of the holy people of God, which is the Church of Jesus Christ, coming here to bring us the good news of the gospel and the offer of eternal life. And basically, we long to do today what he did then. We long to share the Christian faith with people today because we believe that the Christian faith is good news for every person, for every community, for the whole of our society, and for our very, very troubled and hurting world. We believe that the values of the Christian faith can shape our nation again and also help the world face the enormous challenge of climate crisis, fractious division, short-term fixes, and a kind of cynical hopelessness. And we believe this because we see it in Jesus Christ. We see in Jesus Christ a vision for what it means to be truly human, fully human as God intends it. And we believe that Jesus shows us this is what humanity is meant to look like. And we believe that Jesus's vision of restored relationship with God enables all of us in our great diversity to be what the Bible calls a new humanity. And Paulinus came here to do this by baptizing and preaching and teaching. And the other great Anglo-Saxon saints of the north, Cuthbert, Sed, Chad, Hilda, Aidan, often they went about on foot across the north, sharing the gospel, bringing hope, bringing comfort in what were dark and difficult times. Just sitting for 10 minutes talking to Mandy, whose son was admitted to a secure unit this morning because of the hard times that he's having in his life, and holding her hand for a moment and praying for her. All of that reminds me and tells me that we have work to do as the Church of Jesus Christ in bringing the good news of Jesus to this generation, and we can learn from those who've gone before us. So across the north, the plan of faith in the north is to simply add capacity and get alongside the dioceses, cathedrals and parishes of the north with our ecumenical partners to revitalize the church in its mission. And we hope it will be simple and inspiring. Much of it will be about revisiting the very basic texts of the Christian faith, such as the Lord's Prayer. I have a slightly crazy idea that I would like to teach the North the Lord's Prayer. It seems to be so blindingly obvious and simple thing to do. I just wonder whether it's a place to start. Teach people that God is our Father. Teach people that we need to share our daily bread. Teach people that we need to seek God's will and God's kingdom. This seems like a good thing to do. So I'm going to give myself to this. I don't know why I'm the Archbishop of York. I don't know why God has asked me to do this. But I believe it might be something about trying to revitalize and encourage the life of the church in the north. Getting alongside you in what you're already doing. Trying to add capacity, add resource. And in some small way, pray that God will open doors of opportunity for me to be a resource, to preach and to teach. We've got our logo. I like the logo because it suggests to me about trying to create a pathway to Jesus and to the cross. But it also suggests to me something flowing from the cross. That this is a place where we long to bring others to Jesus, but at the same time, we know that we can't do anything without the replenishing grace that comes from Jesus. So please watch this space as this work develops. We want to refresh the roots of the Christian faith in the North. We want to make deeper connections with our history and with place. We want to share resources for prayer, for church planting, for evangelism, and for pilgrimage. And in all this, with confidence, humility, and joy, we want to make Jesus known.
Our Father God.
Another musical setting of the words of the Our Father. That's by Stuart Townend, featuring Ruth Notman. And there'll be more about faith in the North and the Ireland's part in the Lord's Prayer Project on the programme over the coming weeks. There'll also be an invitation to come and meet Archbishop Stephen when he visits the island on Sunday, July the 6th. There's going to be a special event in the Cathedral in Peel at 6 o'clock that evening, and everyone is invited. But now it's time to welcome my next guest. And if you can detect the faint hum of motorbike engines in the background, it's because I recorded this conversation just before this year's TT Festival finished. But I hope it won't be a problem to you as you listen to the Very Reverend John Mann. Former Dean of Belfast Cathedral, now back where he belongs, here on the island, living in, well, he led me to believe it was retirement, but not only is he helping in ministry in Christchurch in Laxey and various other places, but he is also prolifically writing books, and we've got another one to talk about this morning, haven't we, John?
Well, it's lovely to be back with you, Judith, and yes, I'm very happy to talk about another book.
Now, this one, it's about a priest and poet for whose work you have a particular respect and affection. It's another highly acclaimed priest and poet who has encouraged you to do this. So there's quite a story to tell here, isn't there?
Well, there is. David Scott is the name of the priest-poet. He was born in 1947. He died 3 years ago. He has written beautiful poetry that I've been reading for about 30 years. And it was Malcolm Guite who has been over to the island here and indeed has been interviewed by you, Judith. He encouraged me to write this book and is very kindly has also contributed a foreword for it.
What attracted you to David Scott's work in the first place, John?
Well, I think it was in the early 1990s I saw this book in a religious bookshop written by David Scott. And I glanced at it, you know, as you do in a shop, and I thought, I like these poems, so I bought it. And it was the only one of his books I had for a while. And then I read it and reread it. And then I started buying other books that he was writing, because that was the period that actually he was writing quite a number of books himself. And so I sort of gradually, you know, got into it, as it were, and enjoyed it very much.
Did he just write poetry, or did he write any prose or other kind of works?
Well, he became director of the School of Spirituality in Winchester Diocese, and he was that from 1991 to 2010. So during that period, he was asked to write quite a number of things in terms of Christian spirituality, and he produced several books, all of which I got and read. So I suppose the poetry and the theology are interwoven, and yes, they feed one another, really.
Is there a recurring theme in his poetry, or are they all very different?
Well, in terms of what I was looking for in the book, I was trying to gather them in some way. It seemed to me that I could gather them under four headings: Annunciation, Nativity, Crucifixion, and Resurrection. And into those, I have really placed his poems around those areas, but also drawn on his prose works to illustrate them as well. And then, of course, I was left with a number of poems that didn't fit that structure, and I've added those as an afterword.
Let's explore the Malcolm Guite connection, because I think that is quite lovely and quite impressive, because in fact, Reverend David Scott was a chaplain when Malcolm Guite was at school, and from that connection, they kept a lifelong contact. That says that David Scott must have been quite an impressive character.
Yes, he is a gentle person, somebody, you know, very reflective. And I think perhaps these days he would be seen in a very traditional way within the Anglican priesthood, as it were. And I think he was just the right person to have as a director of a school of spirituality. I mean, I've called the book Be Still, Be Silent, because there is something about his poetry, I think, that does arrest one. And I think it is that particular quality that I think that Malcolm Guite also recognised in his poetry.
Now, if we come to the end of David Scott's life, it was in fact Malcolm Guite who wrote his obituary, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. David Scott retired in 2010. He was starting to develop memory loss, and his collective poems, Beyond the Drift, was his final book, his collection. And that really came at a time that he was not really able to write any further poetry. But Malcolm Guite kept in touch with him and his wife. So when it came to David's death in 2022, Malcolm was the natural person to write about his life in an obituary.
David Scott's widow, she's still alive. And am I right in saying that you've had some contact with her about this?
Yes, I have. I mean, I didn't want to write anything that I felt that in any way would upset her. And also, you know, I'd never actually met David Scott. And so I needed to check that what I was writing was accurate, because basically I was only going on his written work. And she very kindly wrote, and we've kept in touch since, to ensure that I captured him as well as I felt I could. And she's been very kind and helpful. And I think on the whole, she feels that I have done that.
Also, Malcolm Guite was very keen that this book should be written, and had a hand in pushing it forward to the publisher, didn't he?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I mean, Malcolm Guite has been a key individual in this whole process of ensuring that the book is actually going to be produced and should be with us in, you know, 2 or 3 weeks' time.
So just remind us of all the practical details, because it will be, as all your books are, available online, available from Church's Bookshop here on the island, and I'm sure will be available when the Island Spirituality Network has its regular meeting, when there is always a bookshop there as part of the Saturday mornings at St John's Mill. So the book is called...
The book is called Be Still, Be Silent, Reflections on the Poetry of David Scott.
By John Mann.
By John Mann. And the cover is very interesting, because it is a modern representation of Mary with Jesus from the cross on her lap. And it's in Winchester Cathedral. And we think it's possibly the last poem that David wrote was on the Paita. And Mark Oakley, the Dean of Southwark, whose lecture on David Scott also appears in the book, has written a little commentary on this poem, The Pieta, by David Scott, which hasn't been published until this point.
So in many ways, this is quite a special book and particularly a great opportunity to draw together the obvious and less obvious of David Scott's work. And that's important if you want to celebrate someone's life, isn't it?
Oh, indeed, yes. And I mean, this is not the last word on David Scott by any means, you know, and I hope that other people will pick things up. And perhaps people that have never read David Scott's poetry will maybe buy Beyond the Drift, which is still available from Blood Axe Books, and read his poetry again. Now, there are quite a number of full poems. There's about 16 or 17, I think, full poems in the book. So you'll get a good taste of his poetry anyway from it.
God be gracious unto us, may God's face shine unto us, that your way be known on earth, and your power among all nations. Let the peoples praise
Still, Be Silent, published later this month by Canterbury Press, is the poetry and spirituality of Reverend David Scott, with contributions from another priest and poet, Malcolm Guite, and Mark Oakley, and is written by John Mann, who I was talking with just a few moments ago. And our music there was from Kieran Wimberley, who'll be visiting the island next weekend at the invitation of the Island Spirituality Network. And it just so happens that the very Reverend John Mann is a member of the planning team for the Island Spirituality Network, and so is perfectly placed to tell us more about Kieran and her visit here.
Yes, Kieran Wimberley, I've known for quite a number of years, and her husband, Alex. Alex is the leader of the Corrimila community in Northern Ireland, a community of reconciliation that's been there for a long time. And Kieran has a ministry of her own. She's an ordained Presbyterian minister, and she is a singer. And she's got a beautiful voice, and she's particularly interested in the Psalms, and she's particularly interested in using Celtic melodies, setting the Psalms to Celtic tunes, basically. And so she's going to come and she's going to talk a little bit about her work and the way that she uses these ecumenically in Northern Ireland, and she's going to sing for us, and she's bringing two friends with her in order that they've got a little singing group. But originally she's from the States, and Alex is as well. They're both American Presbyterians. And, you know, Kieran and Alex, you know, they're lovely, lovely people. It's a pity that Alex can't come, but to have two of Kieran's friends as well, I think will help. And I think probably during the morning, she'll talk to us about the music, of course, and she'll sing and they will sing. I suspect she might get us to sing as well.
Which is no bad thing. So the practical aspect of it, because in fact, there are two opportunities to meet her next Saturday, aren't there? First one is the Island Spirituality Network at St John's Mill, Saturday morning from 10 o'clock until 1 o'clock. Open to everybody. Everybody is welcome. But also on Saturday evening, she's going to be at our retreat house, Tide of A, also known as Ballawattleworth House, on Tynwald Road in Peel. And that's going to be another evening of music. Will that be different from the Saturday morning?
Oh, I suspect so. Very often when ISN bring a speaker across, they are used somewhere else and very happily because it makes their visit all the more worthwhile. So I'm delighted that Tide of A are also hosting an evening. And I think it's very popular, as I would expect it to be. So if you're interested in going, I would get onto Tide of A and book your place quickly.
This will be on their website, retreathouse.im, or give them a call on 609-299.
Yes, and in the morning session at St John's Mill, there'll be no limit on the number of people. There's sort of an upper limit, but we'll not reach that. There'll be plenty of space for anybody that would like to come along. The Psalms mean a lot to a lot of people, don't they, Judith? And, you know, people are using the Psalms or singing the Psalms or reading the Psalms, and lots of people like Celtic music. So to put the two together, you know, I think it's going to be really, really lovely.
Thank you, Very Reverend John Mann, who's been very good value this morning talking about books and music. Numbers at Tide of A, Ballawattleworth House, are only limited so that everyone can be seated comfortably in the lounge for that evening of song and conversation with Kieran Wimberley, with Declan and Kelly McGrath, who, like Kieran, are also from the Corrymeela community. Next Saturday evening at Tide of A starts at 7:30 and will include light refreshments. The event next Saturday morning, which is also song and conversation, is at St John's Mill. It starts at 10 a.m. and will finish at 1 p.m. with a break halfway through for hot drinks and biscuits. And we finish now with a look at the rest of our notice board. And we begin with this invitation from Cheryl Cousins at Dorby Church. She says, "The weather might be a bit suspect, but we're risking a special Pentecost pilgrimage, meeting this evening at 6 p.m. at Dorby Church, then walking together to Niarbil Beach, and everyone's welcome to be part of it. It offers a time to ponder on the meaning of Pentecost around a fire on the beach and a time of renewal and reflection. There'll be a cook fire, so feel free to bring your own food to barbecue and share with others. Come in weather-appropriate clothing and bring something to sit on. For those walking to the beach, your belongings can be taken to the beach and back for you, so feel free to bring the full hamper and duvets if you wish. And if you're not able to do the walk, please still meet at the church at 6 p.m. for the introduction, then share a lift to the beach. If it's really heavy rain," says Cheryl, "we'll meet in Dorby schoolrooms at 6 and stay there." This Thursday, the 12th, Glenfaber Chorale will be in concert in Bagarrow Methodist Chapel, starting at 7:30. There'll be refreshments, and whilst admission is free, there will be an opportunity to give to a retiring collection if you wish. On Saturday the 14th, there's a coffee morning with pancakes at Ballykilferrick Methodist Chapel. Pancakes with several toppings will be available next Saturday between 10:45 and 12:15. And finally, next Sunday the 15th, the Mariners Choir will be in Laxey Methodist Church. As usual, the service will start at 6:30, and the preacher next Sunday evening will be Reverend Richard Hooton. Supper and community hymn singing will follow, and as usual, there's a warm welcome for friends old and new. And that's all that we have time for now, but I'll be back tonight at 9 o'clock and inviting you to join me for easy listening music and your requests and dedications, and I'd love you to join me if you can. And so, until whenever we meet again, this is Judith saying thank you for listening and wishing you and those you love a blessed and peaceful week and a very good morning.
The Nation Station, Manx Radio.